Hi, this is Michael Dorn, Lieutenant Commander Worf from Next Generation and Deep Space Nine, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Tea, Earl Grey, hot.
It's time for another serving of Earl Grey, our dedicated TNG show. I'm Philip Gilfus, sitting in the Senate chair this week. I'm joined, right behind me, by assistant engineer and nacelle specialist, Daniel Prue. Daniel, what's going on? And I haven't checked the pad today. Are the starboard sharks still in first place?
Well, I mean, of course they are, Philip. I mean, do you really have to ask that question? The answer is no. You don't have to ask that question because they're always in first place because they're best.
Right, because if they're not in first, they're usually in second.
Well, so occasionally, but no, but right now they're in first.
Also known as last. Okay. I'm also joined by ship's counselor, Darren Moser. Now, Darren, you're looking colorful as always, A. B, now that it's spring in space, I hear that there's a lot more dates taking place in 10-4 in the holodecks. How's the crew reacting here?
It's so true. I mean, the season of space spring, it comes along but once, a star date. And we're installing a spiral staircase that leads from 10-4 up to 9-4. Just because we need the extra space. It's going to be great. And you're still going to get a great view of the front of the ship when we go to warp. I mean, everybody loves that moment. I mean, that's why Picard just takes those little tiny warp 2 jumps instead of just going warp 9 to get to Ryza. I mean, we're just never going to get there with these little jumps. I'm just saying.
That's right. We don't have to wait for a wormhole to open around here. All right, well, as folks can't tell at all from that introduction, we're going to do something interesting this week, as opposed to every other week, am I right? We're going to do a little sort of character moments, you know, sort of your favorite character moment or episode or whatever, and today we're going to do it with Lieutenant Commander Geordi LaForge. Now, I don't know, to me, the reason I picked Geordi, and if I ever do this again, you know, Geordi doesn't get a lot. You know, we pick on him sometimes. You know, he's not like the big moments like Data or Picard. And so I thought, you know, Geordi needs a little love. And you know, we like Geordi. And so I thought we kind of go around and kind of talk about, like, you know, if someone, you know, we can do it one of two ways. One way would be, like, if someone doesn't know Geordi, how, you know, the character, how would you, like, oh, this moment or this episode or this whatever really shows Geordi being
Geordi. Are we filling out his Tinder profile? Is that what you're basically asking us to do?
Well, I mean, I don't know if he could see them. And then number two, if like just basically you're just, it doesn't have to be favorite, because maybe it's not a good thing, right? But maybe it's just a epitome Geordi moment. So I'm going to let Daniel and Darren kind of put in their prosthetics and figure it out. And I'm going to start off here with stealing probably the one we always talk about here on Earl Grey, and that's Arsenal of Freedom. This is a great season. Oh, Lordy. One episode, right? Or is it season two? Season one. Okay, season one episode. And the reason, because there's almost two or three Geordis, you could say, whether it's a consistent character or not. But early Geordi in red. You know, that is a very, because he seems very, like, a young, he's the young con officer, cracking jokes. He's a lieutenant junior grade, right? And Arsenal of Freedom sort of has that sort of almost like Harry Kim in charge of the ship kind of feel to it.
You're saying he's the night shift guy if Data wasn't there, who doesn't sleep?
Exactly. And but he starts suddenly, because of everyone has their own plot lines, you know, Geordi's in command, and he outranks everyone. I mean, yes, there's the lieutenant commander next to him, but nobody can tell because she's wearing this weird dress. So, but he's the highest ranked person on that bridge. But, like, he gets counsel by the ship's counselor about how to be a commander. He's, like, helping people, you know, sort of like the ensigns or crewman Schmedlab, you know, kind of calming them down about what to do. He separates the ship. You know, what more can you do as captain of the Enterprise? So, like, what do y'all think of that as the sort of the Geordi episode, or at least the early Geordi episode?
That's true, because, like you said, it's kind of a C or a B plot line, but it actually, that's the Geordi episode. you know, that really kind of starts to show his character more than just sitting in a lounge chair.
A really, really loungy chair.
I mean, we can't stress enough the loungesness of this chair.
Yeah, we're talking like 65 degrees of lounge going on.
Like, they might as well put the screen on the ceiling.
But my favorite part about season one is that Data and Geordi know each other's lounge number, and so they can sort of, like, press the number on the chair. And, anyway.
Does Data, like, get firmer? You know, because he just like, sits with his positronic butt.
You know, it's funny, like, you don't think about it, right? At least I never really thought about it until we're talking about it here, but this is, like, the seeds of the final canon, almost final, the second to final canon version of Geordi that we get, which was the... Oh, actually, no, it might be the final...
Are you talking about the captain of the Challenger?
I'm talking about the captain of the Challenger, yes. I should actually clarify. And I'm thinking if whether or not... that takes place before or after the prequel to 2009 when Geordi designs the jellyfish, which is also technically canon. But either way, it doesn't matter because one's technically an alternate future. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Anyways.
Janeway messed up the timeline. Let's just get this out.
Janeway is the Nero.
But this episode, you know, this is his, like, take the command, you can be a captain kind of moment, and then we see that pay off way, way in the future.
I don't know what, like, when you said that, Daniel, I just sort of pictured, like, the 1980s or 70s, like, comic book, like, you're looking through, there's an ad, you can be the captain!
Starfleet wants you!
Just send in these box tops, and we'll give you the cheap plastic-looking Starfleet insignia that really doesn't look like the Starfleet insignia.
Now, I think you what they were missing was when Riker, or I don't remember if it was Riker or Picard, but whoever gestures for him to take the center seat, we needed that Wesley Crusher point of view of looking around the bridge of like, oh, it's me, I'm going to sit in the seat. And then, you know, and then we hearken back to like Travis Mayweather when he sits in the center chair for the first time. And he kind of looks around the room and goes, wow, the room looks a lot different from here.
But you know what, though? We have seen what it's like to see first person through Geordi's eyes. And it would be a little bit of a trip to sit in the center chair like that.
It's like, doesn't Data always look like that? That's, Geordi, you can't say that.
Like... Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Oh, we're bringing Mean Girls into it. That's really funny.
You can't say Data's polysynthetic alloy. I mean, you just can't call that out.
I'm just picturing like Starfleet Bridge Commander, because like, sort of the cutscene of where you're sort of like getting on the bridge, and then you sort of you see that view of you sitting down on the bridge.
Now, I'm picturing if you want to look at, if you want to, you know, communicate with someone, you have to first pan over to the side and then pan over to facing forward, and then to get to weapons it's going to take you at least three more pans to get back around, but maybe if you hold shift it'll go faster.
Oh goodness. Yeah, because he actually in Leland to Lunch, no, I don't know if that's Leland to Lunch, but anyway, there's some, the he actually orders the then chief engineer for the day, you know, because that's how often they are, who I think technically outranks him. And that engineer's like, hey, I'm going to take command.
But he's not in command. He's not a command track.
I know. Geordi's like, you'll take command of the saucer. Womp, womp, womp.
You can go to warp. Oh, wait. Actually, you can't. We're going to drop you off at school and turn around.
That's right. So anyway, but yeah. So, I mean, and whether we say that would pan off or not to what we saw, you know, through the 8, 9, 10 years of Geordi, I don't know. But anyway, so let's see. Next, Darren, what's your Geordi moment, pick, episode, scene?
Well, I talked about this a couple episode. Weeks ago with Andy when we were doing From There to Here, and we talked about the enemy, and that's the one with the Romulan down on the planet with the psychedelic storm, and he falls in the pit, and his visor's going out, and he literally forges rock climbing tools out of nothing. Well, he love forges. Rock climbing tools.
I get it. I didn't. Oh my goodness! I
out of nothing.
Right over my head. Yeah, I just.
You know. And that's just awesome. And then you know he's a sharer. I mean he doesn't have his eyes. The other guy doesn't have legs, and they make it work. and they're able to rescue themselves.
With our powers combined, because who did the voice of Kwame? LeVar Burton. It all fits together, folks.
Wait a minute.
Well, he had to get back down to his roots and...
Oh!
Wait a minute. No, seriously.
There was a rainbow in the sky.
No. Seriously, time out. Because I had no idea. Are you telling me LeVar Burton plays the voice of
Kwame from Captain Planet?
Yes. Of the heart guy from...
No, Earth. He's Earth.
Earth. Oh, the Earth guy. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I had no idea that this was a thing. Yep.
That is LeVar Burton. Yes.
My childhood is so much more connected than I ever realized.
How did you not know that piece of 80s Iacona?
But, you know, I kind of always...
You know what? Daniel, don't feel bad. The only reason I found out is when the Family Guy app had the Star Trek Next Generation event, and when you played had the Geordi character, and he would just say random things, one of the things he would say was, "Let our powers combine." I'm like, oh my god, that's him!
Oh my goodness, I have no idea!
See, already he was a leader. I mean, he was the only one.
That's true.
I mean, maybe 3% of the time someone else would start the charge, but it was always Kwame who was like, "Let our powers combine."
Didn't he have a red shirt? Like, he had the jacket and the red shirt.
This is the happiest news I've heard in a long time.
Now you gotta go rewatch some episodes, Dan.
I will have to.
But yes.
If only, yeah.
So the enemy, I mean, it's just a great... Now, this one's definitely a Geordi episode. I mean, he takes place, you know, as the lead character. And I also, as I mentioned before, I like how, you know, he gets his uniform dirty. Like, he's getting in the mud. He's making it happen. And at the end, like, man, that he's going to have to retire that uniform because it's beat up. But it's just, it adds to the realism. And I think it's a really, really good episode, a really good Geordi episode.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing about Geordi that, I don't know, because people I know, and we all talk about it, I'm sure, here. There's a lot of things people will complain about Geordi, but I think when it comes to, like, a characteristic of Geordi, like, outside of being the chief engineer, like, okay, yeah, he's smart, and then also he wears a visor. I mean, those are all surface things. But, like, humor. He has, like, and it's a quirky one. I mean, it's not LeVar Burton, it's Geordi LaForge. Geordi LaForge has a very quirky sense of humor, and the enemy, he's just being, like, sarcastic and, like, dropping remarks the whole time with that Romulan. I mean, he's kind of like trying to keep it upbeat, but he's also smacking the Romulan around a little bit, you know, but it's sort of like this odd balance of things. And, you know, he has that LeVar Burton laugh. Of course, he's LeVar Burton, but like, you know,
I love that laugh.
Yeah. Even like season one, when he's making jokes, but like in this moment now, when he maybe is a little bit more seasoned Lieutenant Commander, Chief Engineer, but even in this bad situation,
that's a terrible thing to say to a chief engineer.
But he's still cracking jokes, or at least being, you know, I don't know what you would call that, but I think that definitely comes out in that episode.
And of course, I feel like you mentioned it, Darren, in your episode From There to Here, but we should also mention the Romulan mentioning that Geordi wouldn't live. You know, they wouldn't have been able to exist on Romulus. They would have kind of discarded him as a baby because he was quote unquote defective. And you know, what a wonderful message that is. You know, kind of be like, no. Not only am I not defective, you know, I'm the one that's
going to save you.
Yeah. So that's fantastic as well.
Yeah. What is it? It's just another good moment. I'll save that for later though.
Share the love. All right. So, Daniel, what about you? What's a Geordi moment for you?
So, the first thing that came up in my mind is from First Contact, not the episode, but the movie.
I always feel like it's a Wikipedia entry when you say that. First Contact, parentheses, movie.
Yeah, exactly.
To click on First
Contact. It's like in Memory Alpha, because there's First Contact, the episode, so you have to specify.
But I love this scene between him, specifically him and Cochran, and then, of course, Barclay shows up as well halfway through the scene. But... kind of showing how nerdy he is and how geeky he is. And it's like the fact that he gets to participate in this event, like crazy historical event, right? Like it would be like us showing up for, I don't know, the Boston Tea Party or something, you know, like it's like so pivotal to what he understands is his history and he just geeks out over, you know, your statue is right over there. And
you told him about statue? The statue.
And of
and you're
course...
kind of reaching out to the stars, and I got to take a leak.
A leak? I'm not detecting any malfunctions. You know?
Oh, leak. I got it.
That's funny.
Pretty funny.
That's good.
It's First Contact is a great movie for many, many reasons, and it gives all of the characters a moment to shine. And I like this one because it's lighthearted and it's fun and it's nerdy and exciting too. It's like, it feels something very appropriate for Geordi, and it also feels like, you know, he kind of represents the fans in a way in that scene.
Yeah, and it's interesting because not only is it so historical for Geordi, as an engineer, you're meeting the person who, like, invented your field.
Right.
You know, so it's like...
Literally!
Warp field.
I got that one.
Bet going with the chief engineer of the Yamato, and can you give me a hint on how to squeak 0.05% more power out of this?
Can I have your vest?
Can I have your hat?
Like, he, like, after he gets back to the 24th century, like, calls up, like, Lieutenant Commander, whoever, from, like...
Guess who I just got a selfie with?
Oh, this vest? Oh, I don't know. Zefram Cochran, that's who I got it from. He also signed my yearbook from my elementary school. Though, I think the thing about First Contact... And do you guys like it or not that they don't really... Again, it's a movie. I know they don't discuss any characters, but, like, you know, the Geordi implants. It's just like, yeah, he has them now.
Right. Maybe they only could install them because he was on the E. Like, that's where the technology came from or something.
Well, it's the most technologically advanced ship.
Because their Bluetooth eye, I don't know. I was going to. No, I like the fact that it's not a thing. That because there has been, presumably, I don't know. Maybe if there was only like a book that covered this time period when they were building the E. Maybe there is. Maybe there's.
Yeah,
not.
I mean, there's such a gap between generations and first.
But anyways, there's a multi-year.
It's the most advanced ship. It is the ship of the fleet.
Right. Right. Top of the
class.
What would you say? Yeah. So there's years in between, and I like, it's a shortcut way to be like, there has been development going on. These characters existed in this time period, and for them to be like, oh, Geordi, you're not wearing your visor anymore, and right. Like, it would feel shoehorned in, kind of.
He's like, wait, Commander, let me use my new Zoom function, and I will find Zefram Cochran. Yeah, before he had the widescreen format eyes, and now he's got the telephoto lenses. So
yeah, before he had the Alpha 5 O-Vision.
I mean, it was no ring. I mean, that would have been the pinnacle of visor technology.
It just seemed like that the visor has like the same sort of like leaps in technology as like our TVs do now. Like, yeah,
it's 4K now.
There's a flirtation with the 3D visor. It didn't really catch on. But anyway.
It was wasn't backwards compatible with his ocular implants.
Geordi, the first user of Oculus Rift.
Well, it's also, like you said, the fact that they just, not that they ignore it, it's just a thing. Same thing with, like, the uniforms. They're not like, boy, I'm glad we sure figured out that whole two uniform, you know, debacle of the last episode. No, they're just all wearing the same uniform, and it's like, boom. Like, we don't got time to talk about uniforms. We got a planet to save.
Yeah, it's about streamlining it, right? And it's about showing you the most important things and telling you only what you have to be told. And if you can surmise, oh wait, Geordi's not wearing his visor, he has some sort of cybernetic eyes, I think I can put two together, he got some sort of replacement at some point.
Right. They even show the scene of him like literally zooming, like you see the irises rotate, and it's awesome.
Exactly.
And two, I got it. So
and
yeah,
three and two better or worse, five and seven.
So I think for my next moment, it's such like it'll be like a 5 second one, but it was just one again. When I think of Geordi, and then there's so many things again, it's that laughter of the early seasons because he doesn't do it as much later in the series. But like, this is such a small moment, but it's in the last outpost. It's when Data gets caught in the finger cuffs. And it's just like, this is a very un-Data one. It's early season, so we forgive us, folks. But, you know, because Data would obviously be able to figure it out by accessing. But this is, I know Daniel, this is his favorite part about Data when he selectively doesn't know things. I'm like, finger cuffs, can't access that.
I just keep picturing the part in Measure of Man where he, like, bends the tent-style bar.
Yes, or otherwise Data could literally just pull it apart.
Yeah, but, you know, this basket-woven finger cuff can't get out of that.
This requires 0.00001% of my strength. I can't get out. It's like so silly.
But like, you know, and I'm trying to forget the context. This is with the Ferengis. I don't forget even why they have toys. Oh, is it like there was a freighter?
I think it was a gift.
Toys? Yeah,
from someone.
But anyway, so like Data, he's like they're in the observation lounge if memory serves, and Data is talking to Picard, and suddenly gets caught in the finger cuffs, and then like Picard's like, you know, this is sort of early season probably, like, Commander, can you free yourself from those finger cuffs? And like, I'm trying, like, it probably says I'm because it's season one. I'm trying, sir. And then like, Riker's smiling, but like, Geordi's just like breaking down laughing with some remark about like, you know, for all the love of whatever. And then like,
I'm just now picturing Geordi pulling out a pad and just starting to record it. It's like, this is so going on my blog.
So, you know, that is probably the early Data-Geordi relationship, that would be their relationship. Like, Data's getting into trouble, and Geordi's first instinct isn't to help him. It's to pull out, like, his phone and record this on YouTube and then be like, ha-ha, I'm uploading that later. All right, I'll get you.
Actually, he is recording in his Google Glasses.
Just- I was going to say, he doesn't need a pad. Geordi can just record, so... Mm.
Yeah, that's when he's going to engineering, because he never goes there.
He's got a shower first, at least. Come on now.
But yeah, that's my little 5-second Geordi moment of him sort of, not the Joker necessarily. But I mean, like, you know, I think we all remember Encounter, that first time we saw Geordi. Well, the first time we saw Geordi on the bridge, and he told that great joke that had us laughing for 8 years. So, I mean, come on. That Ferengi in the gorilla suit, classic.
It was probably, you know what, it was after watching the perfect mate the other day. Uh-huh. And after their attitudes towards Ferengi in that episode, I guarantee you the joke that Geordi made is a very racist joke, I feel like, based on everybody else's attitude towards the Ferengi. So maybe it's a good thing that we never heard it.
Well, we don't tell Packlet jokes. Those
too far. That's a bridge too far.
Yeah.
Okay. Two bridges too far.
Yeah. So, Darren,
well, another scene I really like in the observation lounge is in 11001001, where Data's painting and Geordi's like trying to describe it to him. And Riker gets that great line where he's like, well, you know, blind man teaching an android to paint, it's got to be worth something in somebody's book. And it's just like, oh, Riker, you quip, you're so sharp, you know. But it's, and Riker's just, you got that smug look on his face, like he's just so happy with himself. But, you know, again, it's just another nice little moment of the Data Geordi friendship. You know, they'll go on road trips together, they'll cosplay together, you know, they got all sorts of stuff coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's interesting. I'm trying to think, like, you know, I don't know if Geordi necessarily teaches Data a lot. Like, I mean, like, explicitly, like, this is how to, you know, do whatever. But, like, does Data ever teach Geordi anything? Like, hey, I want you to show you how to take care of cats or something. Like, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of,
Data,
like,
plug in my head and I will increase the warp efficiency 3% or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Data and Geordi relationship is interesting because it's... We talked about this when we had a whole episode about it, but it's funny because it's always little moments between them, a ton of little moments. It's never like the crux of the episode. The closest we get is the one where they're in that shuttle, and they go through the wormhole. Like,
the price.
But even then, like, that was a B plot, maybe a C plot. I mean, it was part of the main plot, but it was just a couple of scenes. But the fact that we never get, like, it's just Data and Geordi the entire episode, but it's just, like, we always catch glimpses of this relationship, and that's, I think, what makes it so strong, and also why people latch onto it, because you can kind of, the chemistry they have is so strong.
I also love the irony, the more that I think about this one line, I think it's funny on, like, eight levels, of in parallels, where Geordi immediately recognizes Data's painting. Battle of Victoria, right?
Right.
And also, like, A, he's wearing a visor, so what the heck does that painting even look like to him, I wonder? So,
can he see all the other paintings beneath it? Like, you know, that the failed attempts by the master. Yeah, the Geordi Data relationship episode, if people want to listen, was episode 125, Road Trip to the Delta Quadrant, bro.
So, you know, you mentioned, Darren, that you had just recently done a From There to Here episode with Andy. Well, guess what? So have I, and she likes me better. No, I'm teasing.
Her cat likes me better, so.
I'm teasing. But we were talking about the next phase, and this is actually something that I would never have thought of had I not just recently rewatched this. But in the next phase, Geordi and Ro, who's one of my favorite characters also, you know, everybody knows this story. They kind of phase out of sync with the rest of the universe. So only they can see each other and nobody else can see them. Ro thinks that she's dead. And we have this really interesting dichotomy of their worldviews, right? She's kind of questioning. She thinks that they died and that they're kind of in the afterlife or purgatory or whatever. And Geordi's like, no, this is a problem to be solved. And I really like Geordi's, the whole episode, I really like Geordi's attitude of, we're not dead, you know, this isn't heaven or hell or whatever, this is just, obviously, like, there's a line he gives, and this is the specific moment that I wanted to mention. He's like, she's like, we're dead, Geordi, and he's like, me? In my uniform? And my visor? Am I a blind clothed ghost? Like, it's so funny. And it's a really strong episode for Geordi. And then, of course, at the very end, when Geordi and Ro are kind of sharing a scene in 10-4 together, and they kind of joke about, like, what did you learn from this experience? And he's like, oh, any experience that makes Ro Laren a humble person is a good experience. It's funny and ha ha ha.
Oh, yeah. But any that whole experience episode, that can teach humility to Ro Laren. My goodness.
That whole episode is actually a really strong Geordi episode. And, you know, he solves the problem using his expertise. And he's very pragmatic the whole time. And I really appreciated that. And it was something that I wouldn't have thought about if I hadn't seen it recently.
Well, and that's true, because he basically solves the problem with both hands behind his back, because he can't touch anything. He can't run any scans. They have very limited effect on the world around them, so that in itself is a huge challenge.
And he gets to ghost with Data, so I mean that's pretty much that's in the cool.
Data's pottery class when he's working on the pottery.
Can't you sense this, Data? Come on! And suddenly, music starts swelling up. But yeah, though I do notice how their feet don't seem to be very effective, Daniel.
Yes, there are various retcons, such as the gravity plating, you could say, is what keeps them to the floor. But at the very least, Geordi gets to punt someone out the out the wall of the Enterprise, the bulkhead, into space. So that's pretty cool.
Very cool. All right, for me, the next one that I chose encompasses another part of Geordi that I always think about, and that's sort of like what I would call like passionate Geordi, because, you know, he's sort of even keel most of the time. He can be kind of, and I know like Daniel and Darren would say, like, annoying sometimes, so that's sort of another part. But like, he also can get really passionate, and so one scene that immediately came to mind, and I'm also going to squeeze in a second one because I also was thinking of it at the same time, was from The Most Toys. And this is when Data, you know, is presumed dead.
Data is dead.
And it's the search for Data. No. And
Star Trek 2 is a search. Star Trek 3 is a search for Data.
That's the Nemesis. But it's been a while since I've seen the episode, but it does seem a little bit like the crew gives up pretty easily. Like, yeah, Data's dead. Well, that happened. And Geordi's sort of like the whole episode, even though this is sort of like a D plot or C plot, of like, you know, he's not giving up. And there's a scene where he's in the ready room. And it's also, because I just watched it before we started recording here, it's almost the oddest camera angle of the ready room I've ever seen. So I would definitely recommend people to see it, because you have Picard in his chair, Riker's like against the wall, and Geordi is sort of like over, like you always never get this angle of the ready room if anyone's interested in watching that scene.
Is it to like the right of Picard's desk?
Yeah, it's almost like you're seeing it almost from like the replicator angle,
yeah,
of like where that is. You have that really harsh, it's like, wow, it's a very strange part of the room. And I don't know, for some, like, Geordi almost seems like he's holding like the Shakespeare book. I don't know. I can't figure out what book he's holding, but anyway. But he's sort of like telling Picard and Riker, like, you know, yeah, yeah, I've investigated it. And what did I come up with? Pilot error. You know, and they're like, well, you know, maybe. And he's like, no, you know, this is data we're talking about. And they're like, oh, it's so sad you're such in mourning and can't see clearly. And he's like, no, that's a pun about my visor. But no, but he's just very trying to like, and Picard sort of like, you know, I mean, basically like, I'm ordering you to go get some rest and stop doing this and whatever. But like, Geordi sort of has this defeated look, but he's just very passionate. But it also reminded me, and it's just a line too, of, it's from Pen Pals, of where they're having the sort of the only time they do this, the, unofficial crew debate meeting in, what is that? Picard's quarters?
It's Picard's quarters. Yeah.
Picard's quarters. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sort of like they're debating the show, like Law and Order style. And then, like, Geordi has that line, like, you know, I think it was like, maybe it was Riker or someone, like, you know, maybe we should consider letting the planet die. Pen Pals, of course. Remember, this is the one where Data has a pen pal. And,
you know, Data?
Exactly. And the planet's going to, like, explode or whatever. And Data's saying, like, maybe we should help. But anyway, Riker's like, well, maybe the planet's destined to die. And Geordi's like, consider it considered and rejected. And, you know, he just sort of has this big passionate sort of like, you know, thing. And so that's how I always get Geordi. Like, when he gets something in his, like, his bee in his bonnet, he's not going to let it go. But that is that one. So, Darren, what is your pick?
Well, my next one is from Interface, which is another Geordi episode. It's the one where Geordi becomes a probe. I don't know. It's a little weird. But
look, Darren, I like how you phrase that. Like, I couldn't have given you like 84 other Star Trek synopses that are much weirder than that. You're like, yeah, Geordi becomes a probe. That one's weird. Like, nah, that's a pretty normal one. I'm gonna say like, Picard.
I'm reading the Netflix summary. Okay, it's, but and this one, you know, it delves a lot into Geordi's past. I mean, we get to meet, well, see what his mother looks like, meet his father. You know, we realize he has a sister. And
a sister,
and you know, is we get to hear
Captain Picard was wise to hide her too.
If you won't interface with the probe, maybe she will.
No,
but yeah, no, this is a fun, I mean, I wouldn't say it's a fun episode, but it's. It's a good one, though, for exploring, you know, that part of Geordi's past. And, you know, we definitely always see him as being part of the, you know, the Enterprise family. But the fact that, you know, he has a dad, he has a mom, and, you know, he's kind of impacted by the loss of his mother's ship. And, you know, there's other, it's kind of, if you think about it, a glimpse of what we could have maybe gotten if the Dominion War or something had actually taken place in TNG. You know, we don't get repercussions like that throughout the rest of the Federation. But and again, we get some more Data and Geordi moments in, you know, the interface room. And but a lot of it's just in Geordi's head as he's trying to work through, you know, what he's seeing and missing his mother. So definitely a good, solid Geordi episode.
Yeah, and I think that, again, would show his sort of, like, when he has something, he's going to go at it at warp 9.96.
Mm. Like, know, women.
He's not going to let go. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, he didn't go all the way. We're not thresholding anything. But, you know,
it would be weird if him and Picard had lizard babies. I'm just saying.
It wouldn't be the weirdest, okay? It wouldn't be the weirdest. It's time for Trek to embrace two men having lizard babies in the new series. But yeah, it kind of reminds me of that, like in Star Trek, all the doctors all have that sort of like, you know, my ethics, I believe in, and I've, you know, I, no matter what, I'm going to hold on to that. Maybe more so than all the other characters, but I think Geordi, not necessarily on an ethical basis, but in sort of like when he thinks he's right, he sort of has like things like the doctors, like Crusher or McCoy, like I think this is right, and I'm going to do this no matter if I blast a hole through the bulkhead. But Daniel, what's your moment?
Well, you know, Philip, since you're the host this week and you got two, I get to bring up two. So one of the things about Geordi is that we don't, for a good majority of the time, we don't acknowledge and kind of recognize his blindness. Now, of course, it does come up. It's not like it's never talked about. But I think the two most impactful moments that we get about his blindness is when he regains his sight. Or he doesn't regain it, he gains sight, I should say. And he does this early on in that Q episode from season one. Hide and Q, is it?
Yes.
Hide and Q. But that one's creepy, so I don't want that to be my main one. Because
Daniel,
I
never imagined how beautiful you
are. But, and Philip, you may be surprised that I'm going to mention the moment from Insurrection, where he sees the beautiful sunset, sunrise, I can't remember.
I think it's a sunrise.
Sunrise, yeah. On the planet. And it's a, you know, it is a tiny moment. But it's probably my favorite. I can't think of anything else now. It's probably my favorite scene from that movie. And it's so powerful. And it goes to the strength of LeVar's acting. But he sells it on the fact that, like, wow, I've never seen it like this before. It's so. And then you get the sense of, like, no, this person, you know, as much as we probably take for granted that this actor has just had this hairband on his face for 7 years and he can still see. But you know what I mean? Like this character has been blind all of his life. And even though he can see things with the visor, it is still, it's still a burden on him. And it's still not like he's not like everyone else. He is different from everyone else because of it. And that's one of the few moments where you kind of feel that. And it's very powerful to me. And I really, really, really appreciated that. And I like that moment for that reason.
Yeah, because he seems very mature about it, especially, and I don't know if it's always a consistent treatment of the character, but like early season Geordi, like naked and now time now, whichever one it is, you know, where he, you know, he's sort of like, oh, I just want to see, and you don't know how it is, and but whereas in Insurrection, he tells Picard, like, you know what, it may not last, and if it doesn't, that's fine, but I'm just here to enjoy this one moment, and so it's sort of a very, you know, interesting thing about that, and it is sort of, I always wonder about Geordi's attitude, because in those, like, early season one, he sort of got those, like, you know, hey, he's blind, but he would, you know, certainly like to see, but then, like, in the other sort of, like, ensuing 6.5 years, 7 years, it's just sort of like, you know, he's adjusted to it, you know, he is who he is, and he's very proud of it, and, you know, when people point it out, you know, aliens or other species, he'll be like, hey, I can do lots of things and whatever, but sort of still sort of reverts back to Insurrection where, like, you know what? It would be nice, but I'm still good. So, yeah. No, I did enjoy that.
It was right in Encounter that he has that entire conversation with Beverly about what are his options. Like, oh, we have these things that you can do, but you're going to be in constant, or you are in constant pain, but, whatever, all of these different options. And he's like, you know what? Nope, I'm fine. I'm fine where I'm at. And it makes sense to me. And that's why, like, First Contact is okay with me, because it's like, as soon as something better comes along, I feel like he would definitely jump at the chance. It's not like he's beholden to the visor. It's just the best option he has currently. And so, so he jumps from the visor to the eyes and then to realize in Insurrection. And then it's fluid and it makes sense to me.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, I chose one episode next, but you know what? Let's just throw the rules out. I'm going to double episode it, because I don't think you can say this one episode without then saying the other one. And that's Booby Trap and Galaxy's Child. The Leah Brahms duology. I don't know.
Sequel?
Like two episodes.
Yeah,
I don't know. So, you know, I was just going to mention Booby Trap, but I'm like, you know what? Galaxy's Child too. That all, you know, that also happened.
Wouldn't it be just the two of the three episodes of the Leah Brahms trilogy if you included All Good Things?
Well, she's off stage. I mean, come
on. All right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, nobody can cook as good as Leah, but I can still make a decent cup of tea, Daniel. Because I think you get both good and maybe not as good, Jordy. Because actually, I think Booby Trap is actually starts off really well. That's holographic Leah, for those who don't remember. And I think it just has a weird ending. I mean, like, yeah. By weird, I mean, like...
The last 5 minutes, they kind of go in a direction.
Yeah. I mean, like, I could see, like, what they were doing with the hologram character worked. Like, it was naturally adapting to Jordy. And you could see that it was basically adapting based on him. But then it kind of, like, really adapted at the end. And you're like, okay.
Love me, Jordy. Love me. When you look at this warp core, you're looking at my heart.
That's right. But you can sort of see, you know, it's the whole, like, you know, and if I Booby Trap, if I remember correctly.
Now I'm just picturing, like, in Relics where Scotty, like, opens up the lithium chamber and Jordy just being like, not Leia! Don't touch her!
anytime anyone touches the warp core, and gets jealous.
He barrel rolls under the door. Bye, Leia!
Wait, so that means like when the Enterprise D exploded, when the engine exploded, he's like, no. Every time your warp core explodes, that's me dying, Jordy. But like in Booby Trap, I think it starts like with a bad date, and it's all like, oh, I can't be myself, and then he goes to the hologram and he bees himself, and yeah. But I think it is a Jordy episode for the most part, if I remember correctly. And it does show him, you know, thinking something through. He is the chief engineer. He is usually the problem solver, either him and Data, or him and Wesley or something. But and then also sort of shows that relationship part, right? Let's finally bring that part up. You know, no good with the ladies unless they're holographic and adapt to his will. And then you have Galaxy's Child when he meets real Leia and, you know, kind of gets sorely disappointed. But then I think it kind of has a sweet ending, though. It's kind of like, I'm kind of married and stuff. And then
married? How Jordy's it didn't tell me that.
And Jordy's like, but I talked to Daniel and that's not, shouldn't it be an issue for us? And then.
Okay.
It's sort of interesting just to basically see how, you know, the whole, you know, trouble with the ladies is sort of those two episodes there.
Well, one of my last moments is from Generations. And it's, you know, the beginning when they're on the boat and, you know, when Andy's still not sure what the heck is going on and they. Exactly. And this where Data is funny and shoves Beverly off the ship in slow motion. He does it so well. She falls in slow motion and hits Worf. And then, you know, Data kind of gets that smug look on his face and he looks up and Geordi's just like, Data. And Geordi's just like, Data, that was not funny. And LeVar Burton can be so expressive with his eyebrows. I mean, because you can't see his eyes with the visor, but you can just tell the look on his face that he's like, oh man, I wish I'd been recording this. You know, I forgot to hit the record button.
It was the holodeck. I didn't think I would have to. Oh, Data.
Well, forgot to charge that portion, the battery.
Wait, are you telling me that Geordi has a Twitter feed that's called Blank Android Says that he just tweets everything that Data does?
It's a bot. Wait, no. Yes. Android? Oh, I don't know what they'd call it.
All right, Daniel, what about you? Do you have a last one here for Geordi?
I was thinking of the Barclay episode, Hollow Pursuits. What I actually think Geordi is a jerk most of that episode, and has kind of had to be told by Captain Picard, hey, you know, play nice. But when he does, when he actually does finally start to connect with Lieutenant Broccoli, it feels it's nice. It's really nice because he, you know, he says, it, mentioning, he actually brings up what Philip just mentioned, the Leah Brahms thing. You know, it's easy to get lost in the holodeck. I fell in love in the holodeck once. And, you know, he shows vulnerability there as well. And another moment that I know you said one, Philip, but I'm going to do two. Another moment where he...
Well, I'm going to do two next, okay? Because I just want to get on
this
banner.
Do three, Darren. is the episode Iborg. And he is actually the one that convinces... And that's a Geordi episode in a lot of ways, but he convinces Guinan to give Hugh a second chance. And Guinan convinces Picard to give Hugh a second chance. But, it, you know, Hugh bonds to Geordi first. And... you know, it shows that he is a very likable person, and that some of these characters just kind of have a natural reaction to him.
Yeah, I think there's the I found the LaForgeisms website, and during Iborg, it's like, I will assimilate you, and LaForge's like, okay, but before that, we're gonna check your.
This looks like great assimilation, but I'm going to let you finish. But first, Lacutus did a way better assimilation than you ever did.
Yeah, and I think with Hollow Pursuits, it's not often, like, he's the chief engineer, and we know that because he's in engineering, but we don't often see his team. And I think Hollow Pursuits is one of those, that's not the only, but it's one of those few times you actually see, like, the whole team around the Dig Dug arcade platform. What do we call that? But anyway,
the pool table.
Like Wes,
the
yeah,
pool table.
Yeah, yeah. You have like Wesley. You have Barkley, and you have, you know, ensign lieutenants, no names. And they're all sort of like, all right, guys, come on, spit fire at me. What do we got? No such thing as a bad idea. You, what do you got?
That's
could
a
be the
terrible
EPS
idea.
EPS tab. Stupid idea. Next. What do you got?
That guy's fired. What do you got?
Impress me. All right. So anyone, we'll do a little quick free for all. Anyone have any final honorable mentions of Geordi moments they highlight, or anyone they would recommend about showing off the LaForge character in all their glory?
Which is the one? Well, okay. Well, there's was someone where he turns into a lizard, not a lizard baby, but
That's it. Identity Crisis.
Identity Crisis. Yeah, I like that one in the fact that he also, again, uses the holodeck to solve his problem. It's his Photoshop. It's where it's like, where is that shadow coming from? Yeah, so, yeah, that's a fun moment, and there's just... I'm glad that they worked out a way for him to be on the bridge a lot, and so he's not just literally down in engineering all the time, but... I also like the moments where he interacts with his team, be it first contact when he's, you know, they got stuff to work on, or the ship's falling apart. You know, he always is a good motivator, I would say.
So he's not like that 1R2 unit that has a bad motivator.
No.
All right. Well, I think we've done a bit of helping to promote Geordi LaForge, who, like I said, doesn't often get a lot of love around here. But he's an integral part of the crew, and I think we all can see that now. But Geordi LaForge character moments are not the only thing we've been talking about this week. Here's a quick look at what else you may have missed this week on Trek.fm.
Previously on Trek.fm, The Ready Room.
You don't create a better future, and then it's just there, and it's just stagnant, and nothing ever threatens it, right? That's not reality.
Yeah, you'd end up with Star Trek The Next Generation if you did that, right?
No. Right, well, exactly. And I think that's why a lot of people who love The Next Generation don't like Deep Space Nine, because Deep Space Nine challenges that premise.
The Orb.
Maybe later, maybe he could have come back in, like, Season 7, and... he was in love with Kira, Odo was in love with Kira, and they could have had an ombojutsu match to see who would win her heart.
Women at Warp.
Admiral Alan Alda came to visit Captain Coretta Scott King. Meanwhile, Morale Officer Beyonce is trying to deal with her new Weasley sweater, and...
they're all partying at the First Contact party.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
You can listen to every show on the network at Trek.fm with links for iTunes, streaming services, and a direct download link. This week of Earl Grey is brought to you by Audible.com. This is a great way for you to read all of the books you want to read but never have time for. Audible is always expanding with over 150,000 titles to choose from. There are classics, current bestsellers, and famous Star Trek books like Prime Directive and Federation. Audible has something for everyone. Now, as a Trek FM listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice along with a 30-day trial to try out Audible yourself. So give it a try today. Catch up on all those classic Star Trek books you've yet to read. To support Trek FM, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm. Thank you, Audible, for supporting Earl Grey and Trek FM. If you are a weekly listener and would like to directly help Earl Grey, please consider becoming a patron of Trek FM. At patreon.com/trekfm, you can choose a pledge level and receive rewards for becoming a Trek FM patron. You'll be inside the Observation Lounge of our network, able to participate in our monthly patron roundtable podcasts, and supporting the production of all of our great content. We would like to take this moment to thank our current patron associate producers, Stephen Boyd and Ron Sarna. Thank you for supporting Earl Grey. Connect with other Trek FM listeners on our Facebook discussion group called The Babel Conference, found through the Facebook search field, or like the facebook.com/trekfm page for show updates and announcements. The network is also on Twitter, @TrekFM.
All right, Daniel, when you're not recording the things that Darren does and posting them to the internet, where can people find you?
Well, they can find me on Twitter, and my handle there is 1UpDan. That is the number one, not the word.
And Darren, when you're not having all the fun in the holodeck and telling people that they are not funny, where can people find you?
They can find me on Twitter under username Dr. Sci-Fi. That's DrSCIFI. Or they can find me on Saturday Morning Trek talking about the animated series.
All right. And when I'm trying to find out where you put the quarters in the pool table so I can play Q-Bert, possibly.
Two-player Mrs. Pac-Man.
They can find me on Twitter as well. And that's at handle NC Public Servant. That's NC for North Carolina. Well, guys, I got my Geordi Playmates action figure. And like Daniel said, he does fit on the bridge, but I think he needs to find a place in main engineering. So I'm going to go on eBay and figure out which body part I need to sell in order to get the engineering playset. So until next week, make it so.
I have the engineering playset.
Engage.
Fire.